Vision, man. It's Boomer Vision with Jeremy and Patrick. Jeremy's got his fake ID, so he's an honorary boomer, and we're going to be talking about some boomer stuff, like those boomers in St. Louis that totally, like, pulled guns out on those peaceful protesters. And but first, I've got a show for CoCertified and RBN. RBN is like, it's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for, I don't know where I'm going with this. Okay, RBN is like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for free speech. I don't know, because it's in Cleveland or something like that. Anyway, go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation to keep this whole free speech business going. Go to CoCertified, download the CoCertified app. Go to nationalbugle.com, click on the CoCertified button. It'll take you over to what does it take you to? I think the kosher question. Whatever. It takes you somewhere relevant where you want to go, and that's where you download that CoCertified app, which you want. Jeremy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's far out, man. It's like back in the NOM days when we were protesting, even though I wasn't born yet, but I'm acting like I was.
Yeah, man. It was like, even though I wasn't born yet, it was the greatest day of my whole life. Well,
boomers with guns. Boomers with guns. That's good stuff.
Yeah, so if you look on the media, there were these peaceful protesters. And for no reason at all, these two boomers came out and pulled guns on them. Is that what happened?
Well, that's what the media would like you to think. The media would like you to think that white people, privileged white people living in expensive housing, pointed guns at these peaceful protesters who were just protesting on a public street. But there's a little more to that. It was actually a private gated community with private property signs posted everywhere, and they went through the gate.
They went through the gate that was marked private property.
Right? Yeah, they broke the gate down.
And then they were chanting, "Whose streets are streets?" Actually, no, it's not your streets.
No, those streets have been very well paid for, and cleaned up and protected. And these boomers who just wanted to grill, they had to probably leave their grill and their hamburgers and chicken burn. But they went out in their front yard. Old dude had an M16 based, and the female had a hand pistol. And they were pointing at these protesters saying, "Get off my lawn, kids."
Okay.
This went down in St. Louis. And this article is from St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I've got some peeps up in St. Louis. Holla to my peeps. And the article reads, protesters made their way to Mayor Lida Crusone's home on Sunday night. So this was just last night, because we're recording on Monday night. And they marched into this gated community called Portland Place, and they were demanding the resignation from this mayor. But they were met by a couple pointing guns and telling protesters to get away. So, that's the situation. It was private property, and the media totally spun this to try to make it look like white supremacists threw their spatulas down and took up arms to try to shoot peaceful protesters only wanting rights for black people. But as we know, the media spins everything. Mm-hmm. You read through this article, right?
Right. Hey, by the way, with all these peaceful protests going on, I've decided that here at National Bugle Radio, we are going to introduce a sports section. And so this is the sports corner for today. And I want to report on the UFC fight night from last Saturday. Just give you some of the results. So, Julian Erosa was the winner over Sean Woodson by a largely peaceful submission. And then Takashi Sato beat Jason Witt with a almost totally peaceful knockout. Almost totally peaceful. In the second to the main event, Mike Perry, who, by the way, is 2% black, and so he he uses the N-word with reckless abandon because he's allowed to, because his DNA test came back 2% African. A mostly peaceful decision over Mickey Gall. So that's the sports section on National Bugle Radio. Maybe we'll have more sports sections in the future. We'll see.
I will look forward.
Yeah, mostly peaceful chokehold. It was really a mostly peaceful chokehold. Most of the time, Mickey Gall was totally not choking.
No, I mean, sports where people beat themselves senseless. I mean, that's, you know, that goes back to Roman days, right?
Yeah, mostly peaceful. Mostly peaceful.
I will admit I've indulged. Peaceful. Peaceful mixed martial arts. But yeah. Anyway, so... Well, so, you know, a constitutional lawyer professors in St. Louis said that what this couple did was totally within their rights. They stayed in their yard, and they protected their property, and as the peaceful protesters were shouting out obscenities and threats, these two grillers held their ground. They're grilling Americans. That's what they are. They're gun-toting grilling Americans. They just want to grill, but they can't because people interrupt and intrude on the property.
Bargain hunter Americans were up in their grill.
Nice. They were up in their grill. This couple that was protecting their home, they're in their 60s, so that qualifies them as boomers. And they're just sitting home watching TV. And on their TVs, they see peaceful protesters burning and rioting everywhere in their city. And then they see a group of these people coming through their yard and screaming and yelling. So what are they supposed to think? I would think that, and this is something you and I kind of predicted, that as these protests made it into the suburbs and into the rural America, that they were going to meet resistance, and they most definitely did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was... it's a nice residential upper-class area of... I think it's in the city of St. Louis, because doesn't the... the mayor of St. Louis have her residence in that community. So, oh man, if they got out into the rural areas, there that would be trouble. Do you really think they would go out into the rural areas? I mean, seriously?
No, what I seriously think is that they're going to do stuff like this because this is high profile. They knew that they would catch national media. They wanted this mayor to resign for things that she said against the peaceful protesters. And I think they know better than to come into rural America.
And I don't mean to be ignorant, but did this mayor say anything that was really against him? What did she say that was at issue?
Yeah, so this mayor, Wida Crewson, she broadcasted the names of and addresses of people who were advocating for defunding the police during an afternoon briefing on Facebook Live. She fielded questions about a meeting with demonstrators outside of City Hall. In response, Crewson picked up a stack of letters that they, meaning the demonstrators, had given her, and she read them, making sure to include their names and their street addresses. In one case, she read a person's name and full address. Among those names was a minor. So just for naming the people who wanted to defund police in St. Louis, these peaceful protesters broke down a gate, screamed obscenities and threats, and tried to go to her home in a gated community that was private property to demand her resignation. And when the boomer con saw them, they armed themselves, left the grill, let the burgers burn, and they protected their yard. Good for them. Kudos.
Oh, okay. So I'm looking at one of these articles here, and somebody was making the point that all of the names and records, or the names and addresses, would be on, would be public record anyway, if somebody were to, you know, go down to City Hall. But of course, that's not necessary now, is it? Because the mayor read them out on that Facebook ad advertisement, or Facebook. What do you call it? Meeting. She's white, and that's
Facebook Live.
Facebook Live. That's the main thing. She's white.
Well, it's a clear and cut case. It's white supremacy. I mean, even though 70% of the protesters are white and mostly female, she, you know, read the names, and she's oppressing the brown person with her fascist methods of exposing them for wanting to defund the police. I guess that's what the narrative is. So, yeah, and then here these white supremacist boomers came out and dared to protect their property. This is the narrative that's spinning. And to answer your early question, no, these protesters are not going to the rural areas. They're empowered by the state. It's very clear. And what's going to happen eventually when we lose Trump out of office and we get anybody in there, I don't care who it is, they're going to authorize the military to come into the suburbs. That's my prediction.
Okay.
Because two reasons. Number one, rural white Americans respect the military. And if the military did come out there and say, hey, you know, we're military, you respect us, you know, my flag and my patriotism, you know, you need to do what we say. A lot of the rural Americans would, because that's how we roll. But then if there was resistance, the military would be ample enough force to put them down. Mm-hmm. Sounds a little blackpilling, but I think that's where we're going.
All right. Okay, before we move on, actually, I found the clip of the St. Louis mayor. It's only a minute long. Let's take a listen.
They presented some...
So she's got some papers she just picked off.
Papers to me about how they wanted the budget to be spent. Here's one that wants $50 million to go to cure violence, $75 million to go to affordable housing, $60 million to go to health and human services, and have zero go to the police. So that's on who is living. There's no police, no money going to police.
So there she was reading the name and address, but she's just reading it off of these papers that they gave her. Let's go to the next one because it's funny.
This is, I may be saying that wrong. Same address as...
She may be saying it wrong. So it's, you know, it's like Shaniquina or something, right? So Shaniquala or whatever. And she may be saying it wrong.
$75 million to cure violence, $210 million to affordable housing, $100 million to health and human services, zero to police.
Another one.
Well, here's somebody. I think it is. Wants all the money to go to cure violence, affordable housing, human services, nothing to go to police. That address is on.
Okay, so... I don't know if you've ever been to town hall or whatever. I've gone to these proceedings, and, you know, you go to town hall, maybe it's a city council meeting or something, and depending on where you live, there may be a time where the public can ask a question of you know, the city council or the mayor or whatever. And you go up to a microphone, it's all in the public, and, you know, it might be broadcast on closed-circuit TV or cable TV, and you say your name, your address. You say your address because you got to show you're a constituent of that jurisdiction, of that municipality. So was she really, like, was this malicious doxing or just, like, kind of insensitivity? What do you think?
Facebook Live, and the average normie with 500 to 800 followers or friends, you know, would have that many people looking at their posts, but like this lady probably has millions of people that would follow her.
I don't know.
And well, possibly. I mean, she's a well-known name, and I think the controversy here is that she was naming these people on social media, and that lots of people all over the nation would hear these names and addresses. But you know, the media is just painting it as because she has just visceral hatred of the color of skin of brown people, and that's why she doxed them.
Okay.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah,
I mean, I was just wondering if what the motive was, whether it was she was actually intentionally trying to dox them, or because it's public record anyway, she's just reading from the public record and was being kind of insensitive to the matter, whatever. Okay, let's move on then.
Yeah, moving on to the direction that the country is going, we are ruled by a critarchy, and that's very evident. And today, Chief Justice John Roberts sided with liberals, once again, on the Supreme Court to block a controversial Louisiana abortion law. Now, this is from CNN Politics. if you pull up that article. The Louisiana law basically stated that if a female seeks an abortion in a clinic and the procedure goes south, that in order for the doctor to refer her to a hospital, that doctor has to be registered with that hospital. And the Supreme Court voted that unconstitutional. Basically, you know, the doctor can just refer any female to any hospital, you know, if she is in need of further care from his botching of the abortion.
Thus making it easier to get an abortion.
That's the takeaway, and maybe that law seems reasonable to most, but 4 years ago, the article does point out that in Texas, Justice Roberts, in 2016, he actually sided with the Texas law, stating the same thing. But this was the case of immigrants. The case came before the court that if an immigrant comes in to have an abortion and things are going south, that the abortion doctor cannot refer the immigrant to the hospital if the doctor is not registered there. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing a little bias towards immigrants not having abortions.
They want the immigrants to have babies, and they want the Americans to have abortions.
That's the TLDR, the too long did not read TLDR. But let me put this out here. I'm a Christian. I'm against all abortions. White, black, brown, I can't. I understand that abortions, that more brown people get abortions than whites. I get that. I get that it keeps the population down. I understand that. But the ends never justifies the means with me. I cannot, in good conscience, support any abortions. But I'm just pointing out the bias here. And you said it very well. So, Washington, CNN, Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the liberal justices on the Supreme Court Monday to block a controversial Louisiana abortion law that critics said would have closed nearly every clinic in the state. That's interesting. So the onion is peeled even further here. If the Supreme Court would have upheld this abortion law in Louisiana, many abortion clinics would have to close. Why? Because they don't register their doctors with hospitals. So there's some shadiness going on there. We had something similar in Kentucky when our Republican governor took office several years back in 2016. He just implemented regular standards, medical standards, that the abortion clinics were not upholding to, and every abortion clinic closed in Kentucky except the one rural. And then when Governor Beshear took office, he reversed all that. So a lot of these abortion clinics aren't even upholding medical standards. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of shading is going on here. But there's even more to this. And as you know, I follow Rush Limbaugh and monitor him. And today Rush commented on that in his show. This all will right. be on the
So,
Monday show.
And we'll have to get to that on the other side of the break.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Back. So we are now going to be monitoring Rush Limbaugh for the next few minutes. So what was Rush's take on this Justice Roberts decision?
Well, he monitored CNN, and he thinks, let me bottom line it, Rush thinks that CNN is worried about this flip. CNN did not celebrate the fact that Roberts sided with the liberals. Why? Because CNN thinks that now the Trump campaign is going to campaign heavily on the Supreme Court of the United States, saying that, ooh, we need to get Trump back in office because Roberts is an unknown variable, and we got to have Trump in there to replace the next fallen SCOTUS, which is going to be Ginsburg, obviously. So that's Rush's whole take on it, and he actually pulled up CNN clips and played them today on his show. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think that's
what won a lot of people.
It's very plausible because the Democrats have spent decades rallying their own base around a woman's right to choose, and elevating that over practically everything. Now, on a couple nights ago, Donald Trump went on a town hall meeting with Sean Hannity, and towards the end of the meeting, somebody asked Donald Trump a question. It wasn't Sean, it was somebody from the audience, about what he thought his greatest achievement was as president. And Trump, rather than talking about, record low levels of black unemployment, which is kind of what I would have expected him to say, he said, appointing so many judges, appointing all these judges, we've appointed great judges. And that, so that was Trump saying that's his number one achievement is appointing judges. So it seems like they may well go with it. They may well have just over the past few days had a, even before this, just this Roberts decision. But remember, Roberts was involved in a couple of other decisions recently on DACA and on what else? Something else significant. It slipped in my mind.
Tranny rights.
Yeah.
Actually, Gorsuch. Right. Yeah, Gorsuch was the big one on tranny rights.
Yeah, on the tranny rights. And then Roberts on the, well, was that last one a 6-3 decision? I don't remember. But yeah, Roberts on DACA, right?
Yeah, Roberts stabbed us in the back on DACA and now abortion.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So, it's possible that, you know, in the wake of the Oklahoma rally that didn't seem to go so well for President Trump, and, you know, there's a lot of talk that inside the White House and inside the Trump campaign, Trump is, like, they're realizing that Trump's behind. And Trump said on this, in this same town hall meeting, he said, you know, Joe Biden may be your next president because some people don't love me so much, you know, which is a weird way of putting it. But maybe they're looking into it and saying, campaigning on promotion of fracking and war with China might not be the ticket. And so maybe they're testing this out, and maybe it will be a winning issue for them.
A lot of people voted for Trump in 16 because they knew that he was going to replace at least two SCOTUS. So and it makes sense to me, and actually that's not a bad policy. I would add that I would say, though, that if Trump or anybody that wants to be president could win right now on two issues. Number one, putting down the anarchist uprising and restoring law and order. Number two, going against the corona lockdown hoax.
Mm-hmm.
That you would sweep the election if you campaigned on just those two issues. Then you throw SCOTUS in there and you're golden, my guy. That totally makes sense. And I think the Trump campaign is counting on this, because Ginsburg, if she's even alive, is not going to last much longer. You know, somebody's going to replace Ginsburg in January, period.
Yeah, the idea of her lasting another 4.5 years, if Trump wins this next election, the odds of her making it to 2025, I don't know. But,
If this is what Trump is doing, we're reaching levels of 4D chess that shouldn't even be possible.
Well, and he can plausibly run on law and order if he, A, starts doing something. But, you know, he's already trying to run on it, pretending he's done things. You know, at this same town hall meeting with Sean Hannity, he said, oh, we've arrested hundreds of, you know, violent protesters. We're just not making a big deal out of it, but we've arrested hundreds of them. And, I think what they've done is they've arrested hundreds of these protesters, these rioters, and they've locked them up inside the hundreds of miles of the Great Wall of Trump that's been built on our southern border. We are up on the break, but we'll catch that on the other side.
No escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy because I'm.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
And we are back, so do you want to respond to that whole... you know, shift in Trump's strategy idea?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're seeing the true power of the presidency, which, you know, and this whole thing about Trump being in office, the good thing about it is the, you know, the curtains have been pulled back. We are seeing how the sausage is made, mm-hmm. not just in the campaign, but in the presidency itself.
That's a big and deal. We are seeing where the power lies.
The very little power in the executive branch. As we saw, the Pentagon basically told Trump to pound sand when he requested 10,000 military members to defend the White House. That is not unreasonable, to defend the White House. Mm-hmm. So Trump is having to make decisions on the fly here when his own military is not going to back him. So let's just pretend that Trump went total fash, as he does in our dreams, as I've dreamt about. And, you know, start.
I don't dream about Trump. I dream about Melania, but anyway.
Oh, good. Good one. But, let's just say he did go total fash and started ordering military to go into these states. I mean, they might just say no. And then what would he look like? So, yeah, not making excuses for Trump. I'm just explaining the situation. But what he can do is defend monuments on federal ground, and he's done that. So let's throw that little nugget in the bucket of good things Trump has done. And he'll continue to do that, and he can, you know, campaign on law and order based on that little nugget, I suppose. But Supreme Court, big thing. But even if he doesn't do a lot, even if he would just come out in a speech and say, I'm against these riots, and I will do my best to put them down, and I will stand against this corona lockdown hoax. Bro, 70% of the electorate won. right there.
Yeah, and he could easily do the Law and Order shtick. He could do that. The coronavirus, I mean, he halfway went along with it, but you know, he's often badmouthed Fauci. Oh, and you know, the one highlight, real highlight of this town hall meeting was when he was talking about Bolton. And he was just saying Bolton's, he wasn't bright. He's not bright. He's stupid. And he wants to bomb everywhere. And he said, okay, one thing that really validated what Mark Dankoff and I have been talking about since the beginning, we were saying that he didn't know anybody in Washington and just relied on other people to recommend appointments. And we were saying all along he should just get a kitchen cabinet of informal advisors like, you know, Ron Paul or Pat Buchanan or even Ralph Nader, people who could recommend better appointments to him instead of just going the establishment Republican route or the Jared Kushner route. So he admitted that he didn't know anybody in Washington. He said, I've been in Manhattan real estate all my life. I didn't know anybody in Washington. And I thought that was revealing. But then when he said, like a week after hiring Bolton, he realized Bolton was an idiot, and he really slammed him for having talked about the Libya model. He didn't go into detail. He specifically said he wouldn't go into detail, but you know, we know he's talking about the North Korea relations. And then he said, but actually it was helpful for me to have him there because you know, I'd be negotiating and Bolton would be there and the people on the other side of the table would think, oh my God, Trump's about to bomb us because Bolton was there. And, you know, that was something I kind of speculated on back in the Bolton days. But anyway, so that was kind of the highlight. And, you know, there were some things from that town hall meeting, even though Andrew Englund kind of dismissed it as being kind of confused and lacking direction. But there were a lot of nuggets that you could take away from that. That show that Trump knows a lot of what's going on and even realizes a lot of his shortcomings.
Well, we'll take nuggets. We'll take nuggets when we can get them. And, you know, like you pointed out, he badmouthed Fauci a little bit, but in order to fully stand up to this corona lockdown hoax, he's going to have to fire Fauci, mm-hmm. fire Bricks, mm-hmm. and ban Bill Gates from the White House and tell Bill Gates to shut up. And he's going to have to take Mike Pence, who is a total cuck to this corona. He's going to have to take Pence maybe out to the Rose Garden and have a come-to-Jesus meeting with him and say, look, guy, you're not going to undermine me on this anti-lockdown stuff, mm-hmm. or you're gone.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and there's still time to get rid of him. He could be
– Yeah.
There's, what, another 6 weeks before the Republican convention, I think. And he could replace him at the convention.
And I don't think he will because the Christian conservative cucks would, like, like panic and throw up in their Bibles, but he could definitely take Pence off to the side and show him, you know, hey, this is what you're going
to
do.
Obviously, I'd like to see him replace him with Tucker Carlson, and, you know, there's been little whispers about that, not recently, but a year ago there were whispers about that. But could you imagine, let's just say, you know, within the next couple of weeks, Biden comes out and announces some horrible black lady as his running mate. Or a fake one like Kamala. And then it was like, well, okay, all bets are off. If he's going to have his horrible black lady, maybe I can have Tucker Carlson. Wouldn't that be something? Maybe I'm just dreaming.
Well, we can dream, but realistically, he needs Pence for the Christian vote. But anyway.
That's a good point.
Trump, he should totally do that. But, you know, this whole thing with the coronavirus hoax and the Black Lives Matter rallies and riots and protests, they're really moving my NormieCon friends to the right. And I, as you know, I monitor Facebook and I make political assessments based on what people are putting on there. And a lot of them are making talking points that we were making 4 years ago about slavery. Stuff mm-hmm. like, you know, I don't feel guilty about black slavery. Blacks sold their own people into slavery. Mm-hmm. That's stuff we were saying back in the day. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stuff that we were saying years ago is just now moving into the mainstream.
Okay.
And, you know, Rush had an interesting show today, other than the Supreme Court clip. We do have a clip where he's explaining, and what he's doing is he's Rush is commenting on an op-ed in the New York Post that was written by Charles Love. And the title is What Woke Whites Get Wrong About Black That's Priorities.
Charles Love, not Charles Blow. Hmm? Charles Love.
Love.
Okay, yeah, well, shall we play that clip now?
Yeah, let's play the clip and then we'll dissect it and then maybe we'll get into the article a little bit.
Okay.
They apologize for white privilege. Celebrities, athletes, corporate America followed suit. Portland's police chief resigned, asking to be replaced by a black man. The CEO of Chick-fil-A urged whites to shine the shoes of black people to show a sense of shame. But why now? Why now? Mr. Love asks. Well, to find out, I had to hear what whites were saying. So I listened to the protesters. I talked with my white friends. I read articles and social media posts. What I found was that white people were overwhelmingly depicting black people as desperate, as defeated, as incompetent, as impossible, with no way to pull themselves out of their misery. Now, folks, I have to tell you that this is exactly the way the civil rights liberals all the way back to the 50s and 60s saw African Americans and continue to see them to this day. Talked with white friends, I read what they were saying, I found white people overwhelmingly depict black people as desperate and defeated and incompetent. A white friend said to me, when I objected to this, well, I understand your point, but don't you think blacks are being oppressed? Don't you think blacks are being oppressed? And that's when I realized that white wokeness is the new factor in our national life. Now, you know this because I've already explained it to you, but this guy just figured it out, which is great. Don't misunderstand. White wokeness, particularly among affluent female white college students. White wokeness is the new factor. It has been embedded into the consciousness of whites that blacks are monolithic. They're all the same, that they all face impossible barriers to improvement from standardized tests stacked against them to the black men being arrested on the nightly news. A growing number of whites believe that black life is unrelentingly grim. Now, my friends, this is precisely the view of baby boomer white liberals. You know what it's rooted in? It is rooted in the same, but it's rooted in what I call the soft bigotry of low expectations. And every white liberal is guilty of this. They look at African Americans and they see people they have no chance. For whatever reason, they see people that just can't do it the way they can. So they feel sorry for them. And then they turn that sympathy to blame on white conservatives, some group that's had nothing to do with any of this. But they can't blame themselves because they're woke. These baby boomer white liberals, many of them in the media, they can't be to blame because they get it. They are sensitive. But they believe that African Americans don't have a prayer. They believe African Americans can't do things on their own. They have this guilt over what they believe slavery caused and how long slavery has lived. It's still alive in their view. And so all of this is really rooted in the sympathy that accompanies the belief that these people are incapable of helping themselves, that they're incompetent. And by the way, liberals look at everybody this way. Liberals, this is what they've constructed in order to make themselves feel needed, in order to make themselves feel worthy of power. They damn well believe, Mr. Love is exactly right, he swerved into the truth here. Whites in college are being taught.
Okay.
Yeah, so we get the gist of it there. Mm-hmm. And so what this article, this op-ed is pointing out is that liberals are looking at stuff like blacks scoring low on tests, And even the article, I'm looking at the right now, the article admits that the white violent crime rate is 12%, but for blacks, it's 44%, for a demographic that is right around 12% of the population. So they're actually, the article is doing the 13 does 50 meme. Mm-hmm. Blacks are 13% of the U.S. population, but they do nearly 50% of the violent crime. It's a very, very eye-opening article in the New York Post. And so Rush is commenting on that. And the thing is that Rush knows the shot, right? You never talk unless you know the shot. That's from a movie called Glenn Ross. But mm-hmm. the talking point Rush is putting out here is that he's saying that liberals are saying that all blacks are the same, and that we should all feel sorry for blacks because they're systematically oppressed. But yet the article is pointing out that, you know, blacks are failing in these areas of violent crime, mm-hmm. and low test scores.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, in Rush's world of conservatism, now he knows better, but what's better is that as individuals, you know, we should all be able to just take advantage and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. And indeed, certain members of the black community do that, and they're successful. But overall, they do fail, and they lag behind the white community. And we know that this is an explanation of DNA and group behavior, but Rush is trying to paint it as, you know, individualism. If you gave everybody the equal chance of Americanism, that blacks would succeed. And it's the white liberals that are keeping them down by white liberals telling blacks that no, as a group, you're oppressed.
Mm.
That's the picture that Rush is painting. I just thought it was an interesting commentary. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that term, the tyranny of low expectations. I don't know who originated that. And I think there's something to it. Obviously, right, what you have this year, these past couple of months, there is a element of tyranny of low expectations, because you've got the entire media telling blacks you're repressed, and that's why you're having all these problems. And so what do they go out? They go out and riot. And, you know, the whole thing is with white people, like, to the extent white people are prejudiced against blacks, what is that based on? That is based on a sense that blacks have a propensity to violence and stealing. And no amount of rioting and looting is going to change that sense that certain white people have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally true. And this is all taken advantage of, you know, by the system, because you've thrown blacks and whites in the same schools, in the same work environment since the 1964, and blacks underperform, period. They can't help it. That's just the way it is. And so when they underperform, they want to know why. And then the liberal, you know, the white liberals come in and say, well, you underperform because of white supremacy. And they buy into that, and then they're using their weaponized. But, you know, Rush is not wrong. He's not wrong. In a system of performance, if you were totally judged based on your performance, you know, the blacks have the United Negro College Fund. They have affirmative action. Any black that wants to make something of themselves, if they tried, they really could.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point that he's making. But the point that we're making is they won't. They will not. As a group, individual blacks will. You know, you can find them. But as a group, they're not. They're going to be killing each other in the streets of Chicago and L.A. because that's in their DNA. And that's what both Rush and the New York Post article totally ignore and dance around. And that's kind of what I wanted to bring out.
Yeah, because you can't talk about it. You should be able to talk about it, but, you know, the so-called left, they're anti-science. The whole irony is they pretend that it's the other way around, but they're the anti-science ones.
But the picture that's been painted here,
mm-hmm.
is that there's a systematic white racism against blacks in the U.S. and against any brown people like Mexicans. And so we have to do something to fix this. And the whole defund the police movement, I think, is going to a very, very dark place.
Mm-hmm.
And I am building off of some things that I've read from Andrew Anglin and the Stormer. I think that what they're wanting to do in this defund the police movement is they're wanting to put these social workers to replace the police, and they could very well be Antifa, like degree-holding college retards that will come in, take the place of police, and instead of policing crime, they're going to police racism.
Mm-hmm.
This police force is going to be legally allowed to go into your churches and your private schools to figure out where is the systematic racism coming from, who's teaching it, and if it's being taught to these kids, guess what? The kids are going to be able to be removed from the families through the social services network.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Well, you know, stranger things are happening, so, but we're coming up on the break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back to the show. Okay, so we have a few more articles to talk about. These are about the 2020 election. Has Trump given up?
That's I don't know. Politico says so.
Do they say he's given up, or do they say that he's realizing he's behind?
Politico says that Trump admits that he's giving up, that he's losing. Not that he's given up, that he's losing.
Mm-hmm.
So, reading from the article, amid a mountain of bad polling and stark warnings from allies, the president has acknowledged his reelection woes to allies. The president has privately come to a grim realization in recent days that multiple people close to him told Politico amid a mountain of bad polling and warnings from some of his staunchest allies that he's on a course to be a one-term president. I think this is like a gaslighting article.
I don't know if I'm buying into it. You know, you had the poor turnout at the Trump rally. You got the corona lockdown hoax devastating the economy. And now you have rows of anarchists burning down cities, and Trump looks like he's powerless. So it would be easy to write a hit piece, multiple hit pieces on him saying that he's given up. But I'm not sure I buy it. This political article really is looking biased to me.
And gaslighting. So by gaslighting, you mean they're reporting something that they want to be the truth in the hope of making it the truth.
Right, exactly. And Trump was actually quoted in this article as saying, quote, "Joe Biden is going to be your president because some people don't love me, maybe."
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said in the in the Hannity town hall. That's where he said that. But you know, in the context of that Hannity in the context of that town hall, it really didn't sound so defeatist.
No, and I think Political is taking the whole article based on that one quote. They're saying hours after the interview, the question swirled within his inner circle about whether his heart was truly in it when it comes to seeking re-election. Well, his heart should be in it because I think he knows that he's going to be arrested and tried in the Southern District of New York over the Mueller probe and his dealings with Jared Kushner if he loses and when he's out of office. So it would behoove him to win this again. And it would behoove us because look at what's all going on in like Seattle and the Chaz Zone. All of these cities and states where Democratic mayors are catering to the anarchists, that's going to be implemented on a national level if anybody other than Trump gets in. You're going to get national lockdowns, mandatory masks, Black Lives Matter, and replace the police with social workers that want to take away your kids because your church and your school is racist. I think that's what we're looking at, and I hope Trump sees that.
Okay, and in the closing seconds, Zuckerberg?
Zuckerberg is being pressured to remove all pro-Trump posts, and $7 billion in revenue is being taken from him if he doesn't do it. So, you know,
but
they're gearing up election to stifle Trump.
Who in America uses Facebook? Isn't it older people, and don't older people favor Trump in general?
The majority of people that I know use Facebook over Twitter, and only the Zoomers use Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. Facebook is mainstream. It's the backbone of America's social media. I can definitely say that.
Okay.
With confidence.
Well, listen, thank you for coming on the show for a special Boomer Vision Jeremy and Patrick show. And we'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio. Is it going to be Patrick and Jeremy again?
Absolutely, my guy.
All right. See you then.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.